This is RSBNB Update, episode 304, recorded Friday, April 15th, 2011. Bad plans for the clans. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of RSBNB Update. And as usual, we would like to thank you all for taking the time to download this and waste the bandwidth to put this on your iPod or your computer. So please bear with us as we discuss the update entitled "The Clan Camp." Here this week is King Kulla, who used to run one of the big free-to-play clans.
Hello.
And Jeremy, our newest recruit to the events crew of RSBNB.
Hello, everyone.
He is also very experienced in matters involving real-time strategy games and slaying on RuneScape to make money, so he can share some of those insights with you here today.
Definitely.
So we're going to get started this week with the Clan Camp. This is the update that Jagex has been promising and touting all the way through the first quarter of 2011 here, and you know, it's exactly as we thought. It's all downhill from here going forward, you know. At least I think that. This update, you know, we'll get to some of the finer points about it, but you know, some of the changes made with this update just make me want to shoot myself. So, anyways, the Clan Camp. Basically, for anybody who missed this or has been sleeping for the past few months, this has been an update to allow in-game support of clans. There's really not much else to say about that besides that, because that's really all it does. It does bring a nice user interface to the front of the RuneScape page called the Clans page, where you can look up all sorts of clans. Like the RSBNB one is called Bits and Bytes, so if you want to look us up, you can find that. Just search Bits and Bytes, and you can see the nice little thing that we designed using the Clan Camp in-game. So,
yeah, it's right under the Community tab.
Yes. And, you know, they did do a very nice job about the website of this thing. I was impressed with the website design, more so than the in-game design. So,
yeah, it does look pretty on the website. Does look pretty slick.
Yeah. So basically the way this works is you go to the Clan Camp, which is south of Felidor, which was put there last week, and you need 5 people to form a clan. So what you want to do is you take your owner and your 4 other people, and you use this little scroll thing on them, and then once you do that, your clan is created, and then through an in-game interface, you're allowed to modify the motto, the motif, and control all the other people in your clan. So, and then that translates changes to on the website. So, have either of you guys joined any clans or created any clans? I know Jeremy's joined ours. I don't know if Kulla's...
Yep. I'm in the Bits and Bytes one right now. And I get a lot of people that ask me if they can join the clan, so I'm always meeting people everywhere and sending them invites and stuff. We got a few members now already, maybe 30 about.
36.
Mm. Yes, we have 36. It went down to 34 last night, but it's up to 36 again today. So,
are you guys
36 plus 1, because I haven't quite joined it yet.
Oh, yeah, right. I need to add you to that. It's free to play, so no worries there. We'll be able to add you.
Yeah, we'll get you for sure.
Perfect. So,
the whole idea of this is that anybody can join, and it aggregates everybody nicely. So, with this, what did you think, Jeremy, of the join process and the interface when you first saw it once we invited you?
The join process was very easy, you know, just send an invite and then hit the join this clan button, and it's pretty easy from there. The interface is very nice. I like how you can see everyone online in the clan. And for the settings too, you know, you got the time, what homeworld it's on, and everything like that in there. So I think it's a very nice interface, all in all.
And, yeah.
Yep.
That part's okay. I suppose before we get get too wound up with the intricacies of the clan system, we should say that this Bits and Bytes clan is not a requirement to have access to all of our events and everything. This is just if you already don't have a clan and you want somewhere that you can appear on a clan high scores, there's nothing you're missing if you don't join this. It's just something you can have in terms of being on the clan roster and getting the high scores access.
And I'm sure if people weren't already in clans, they'd want to join ours anyways, which would boost our number of people up even more, right?
Yeah, so with that being said, if you want to join, what you can do is you can head over to the Friends Chat. We're using Friends Chat under the name Bits Bytes, and find a chat moderator, ask them for a meetup, and you will meet up with them and then join the clan through that. Now, you notice I said Friends Chat. We are continuing to use Friends Chat through this whole process because if we were to go with Clan Chat exclusively, we'd have some members of our staff who would not be able to be ranked. So hence why we're sticking with Friends Chat for that. So our Clan Chat is not used. The Friends Chat is used under the Bits Bytes username, which has been used for the past year and a half. So I just wanted to get that out of the way.
So now, not too much is changing then. But...
No, not really. But, you know, you remember Clan Chat used to be one slash to talk, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and now they're adding all this, like, the new Clan Chat is two slashes, and then if you want to join other Clan Chats, and that's three slashes and so on.
That's just
kind of confusing.
Yeah, that's just insane, you know? That's one of the reasons I wanted to shoot myself after this update came out.
Then it'll be four slashes, and then five slashes.
Yeah.
And six
and trying
slashes.
To distinguish between all of them is kind of hard, so...
Yeah, so, you know, there was a development blog released today on this matter, and they said they are open to suggestions about how they can make this this better. So if you have suggestions on this, you should read this developer's blog and then send in your...
Wouldn't it be simple to do something like slash C for clan, slash F for friends, and slash O for other clans?
Yeah, that
it's so much simpler than slash slash slash.
Yeah,
know?
that's what one of their ideas they said. But then they said the thing was how do you make sure that you communicate effectively to the user that you're in that mode and not the other one? You know, like.
Just
that
like
makes
any
sense,
other,
but
just like in the Friends Chat where it has the RSBNB name before it, you know, the name of the
yeah,
chat. You can also have the name of the clan right before anything, you know? I don't see how that would make any difference.
Yeah, that's one of the things they mentioned. So, you know, that would be good if they could do that.
Don't know why they didn't do it in the first place.
Yeah.
Well, they always seem to make everything so complicated at the start and then kind of iron out the issues after a while.
Yeah.
But this one reasonable we were talking about as well, about having loot share and coin share on clans, it makes sense now hearing this knowledge that they dispelled today about why they can't. They said it would need a lot more engine work because the way the system works is it currently deals with the group of the Friends Chat group, people who are in the chat and in the area, but not the Clan Chat group who are in a different area or maybe a different world or something like that. And then with that, they would also have the issue of how do you differentiate between a coin share and a loot share from a clan versus a Friends Chat, you know? So that's something they also talk about here. It would be a lot of engine work to do that.
Which begs the question, what is the real difference between the two and why are two different chats needed?
One can hold 200 people, one can hold 500 people. That's the max for a clan chat, 500,
yeah.
In terms of how many members you can have.
Yeah, and they all are displayed online when they are, so even if I think they have their private on off, I think they still appear. I'm not too sure on that, but...
They said, we have decided that a player's individual privacy should have precedence in this case, so we will be implementing this change to be opting out of the clan chat channel, which is good because as soon as you log in, you appear in the clan chat channel, which is good. You know, like, I don't want that to be always on. Like, they, then this goes into another thing. If you look at the buttons at the bottom of the screen, they were completely different before from the other buttons. This would have been a perfect time to take these buttons on the lower left of the screen and bring them into tune of what the right-hand side buttons looked like. Would have been a perfect time for that, but no, that didn't happen. And to make the lower left-hand side worse once more, it gets further confusing again, being private, friends, and clan. Now, you think private. Well, private means, okay, it controls by online-offline status to the world, and if people can message me. But if I go in clan chat, it doesn't control that preference right there. It really should control that. Or maybe just have the leave button like they're probably going to do. I don't know. I just found that really confusing, how private and friends, you know, how the private chat is between people on your friends list, but the friends button does nothing to do with your friends list, you know? That's what's kind of confusing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that doesn't make too much sense to me either.
And then, especially now that they changed the colors of, like, the friends clan chat and the actual chat and the clan chat. I'm so confused now.
Yeah, that's horrible. You know, like, they bring these colors in, and you can't even read them on the background if you're using a fixed window. Like, they're completely absurd, the default color choices. It makes no sense. Like, they need more choice. Bring in that color selector from the banner designer. That would be good.
It seems like they had a really good idea here, but they tried desperately hard to mess it up somehow.
Yeah. You know, typical of Jagex, you know?
Yeah. It sounds exactly like it. That's why you shouldn't get your hopes up too much.
Well, I wasn't getting my hopes up. You know, I already coined the catchphrase for the rest of the year. So, yeah. It's just annoying. Like, it's just really annoying with this. Because, like, we've been having these user interface problems for how long? When are they going to catch on? Like, the web people who design the web interfaces, those interfaces are good. The in-game ones are not. Let's have one user interface team design the interfaces for the web and the game. It's not that hard. It's not that hard. And in this day and age, everything is on user experience. If the user experience is not good, people are not going to like it, and they're going to be discouraged from using it. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
Even if it works perfectly, it's all about user experience.
If they aren't having fun, they aren't going to play the game.
Yeah, definitely.
Exactly. Or join the clan. But that's not a problem, seeing as 33,000 clans have already been registered.
That's ridiculous.
In 24 hours.
But isn't that because of the prize or something
like that? Yeah, $10,000. We better get you entered, Pat. You can have your chance to win $10,000.
Yeah, I'm...
If anybody who is on this panel today wins, the three of us will split it three ways. We'll each get 33.33% of it.
Well, I would be donating mine to a meetup. We already said like 2 weeks ago, didn't we?
Okay.
We were going to donate it to a meetup.
I'll donate mine to that as well then. What about you, Jerry? You in?
Oh yeah.
Okay, good. I don't know. But do you like what Mike and I designed for our clan banner?
I don't mind it at all. I mean, since you're the owners of the site, I mean, it's up to you guys. So, and I don't think it looks bad at all, so I don't have a problem with it. What about you, Kula?
Looked all right to me, as far as I could tell.
Farming and fleur-de-lis.
Yep.
I don't think it was the best out of all the options, but there were a lot of options, and I think it did good.
You know, when we first set this up, the first few minutes after we came out, we said, I'll take the left side, you take the right side. There we go. And somebody in clan chat thought my pitchfork and shovel was a fork and spoon.
So it does actually kind of like that.
RuneScape bed and breakfast, which makes sense, you know. RSBNB.
Yeah, once we retire the clan, we'll start a chain of restaurants.
Yeah, that'd be good. Anyway, so that's that part. I don't think we... Oh, yeah. Inability to be in more than one clan at a time. You can only be in one clan. They says this is the most difficult request to address, as they have no desire to disrupt the multi-clanning community. However, in order to make any new clan features, we've needed to enforce a one player per clan limit. There are a number of places where we need to unambiguously identify which clan a player is in. Okay, that makes sense. So the high scores, you know? Okay, I get that.
I didn't realize there was a huge multi-clanning community. When I was in clans, there was like two clans that encouraged multi-clanning, and all of the others, if it was ever found out that you were in another clan, you'd basically be banned from both.
Yeah, so. You know that in clans I've run in other games, I've always adopted the same policy, you know, you're only allowed in one and you gotta pick which one. So
well, it'd be like, what if your two clans fought each other, you know?
Which side are you on?
Yeah, or, you know, you're basically a rival when you're going into fight, so...
And, you know, it brings up a whole question of loyalty, and loyalty is very big for me, you know? If someone's not loyal, then they're not useful to me.
Well, it's not just that, but I mean, if it's like a war situation, right? How can you both be... Well, to use World War II, how can you both be an ally and an axis, you know? It just doesn't make sense.
Isn't Russia that?
Yeah.
You know, because I was thinking of that same case there when he first mentioned that, so. That's two for two today.
Oh, I guess so.
The Chrome NDP comparison and the Russia World War II ally axis comparison.
Wow, must be we must be talking to each other far too much.
I don't think so, but anyways, that's the you guys could read more of the development blog on that on your own time. Next up, how easy is it to create a clan? An idiot could do it. JX has released a YouTube video showing you just how you can create a clan.
Because we need more.
Yep.
Like 33,000?
33,000 isn't enough.
Yes. We must create a clan for every single RS member.
Anyways.
Kind of reminds me of the poll. You know? How they wanted everyone to vote. You know?
Yeah. And how they got the million and some in 24 hours.
Oh, yeah, right.
That's all they did was advertise it. Like, on page.
I'm fairly confident by now that we know that that whole thing was planned from the very beginning for this game to take this path, so I'm really not too concerned about the result of that poll now.
Yeah. It looked kind of like other games, you know. I mean, when Dragon Age 2, for instance, came out, they did a thing on Facebook where they had to get like a million likes or something like that, and they'd release some sort of content for Dragon Age 2, so...
You know what's going to happen? You're not going to get 999,999. It's just going to stop there, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you clearly intend to release it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's all just a play, though, for attention, I suppose.
Yeah, well, that's exactly it. That's exactly
it's
it.
It's all about publicity. And hey, isn't that what Jagex has done in the past while, is wanting publicity? I mean, with RuneFest and all these updates and that sort of thing.
Yeah, there you go.
I just can't think of better examples at the moment, but I know there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Oh, well.
There's a developer Q&A about clans, live developer Q&A, on Sunday, April 17th at 8 p.m. BST. So you guys will be able to head on to the forums there and talk to them about that. So if you have questions about the clans, please do ask them there. Such as, I don't know, why did 33,000 clans form? Why is there a $10,000 prize for being in a clan at the end of the month? What's the long-term benefit to the game of having clans? Why does everybody need a clan? Why, if I don't join a clan, what will happen to me? That kind of thing, you know? Let's see what all their answers say about that. Those would be interesting ones to ask them. If we can ask about the motive, not just the programming side of it.
Yeah, it'd probably be more like user interface stuff.
Oh, we could go there too.
How does this work? You know,
Like the, like those ugly buttons at the bottom there.
Well, that's a good plan. You should ask about that.
A good plan for the clan system. That rhymes.
A good plan for the clans.
Except it wasn't a good plan.
So, a bad plan for the clan.
Yeah, there you go.
Gee, that's a good show title. There we are.
There it is.
Alrighty, moving on to something a little bit more happy now. Well, maybe. Slightly amusing.
Less depressing.
Yeah, a guaranteed content pull boss rematch. So, as mentioned in the news post, we're going to run a series of polls consisting of non-repeatable quest monsters / bosses. All you need to do is vote for the fiend that you would like to revisit. The way you base your choice is your prerogative. It could be for the challenge, nostalgia, or even revenge. Choose wisely as you only have one vote per batch. Now, in this group here, these are all relatively low-level ones, highest being what looks to be level 70. So there's really not too much hard in these ones. But have you guys voted in this one yet?
I have not. Check it out.
Melzar was pretty hilarious. I remember Melzar's mage.
I don't. That was many moons ago.
Same for me, but it was still pretty funny. All the quotes. I wonder where Elvarg is on this one. It's funny that they don't have that in there.
I don't think he's on here yet.
Gee.
Oh, okay. I was not aware we could tell the difference between genders of dragons.
Yeah, but they mentioned that.
I
do believe they mentioned it in game that she destroyed the entire village of Krandor or something like that.
From the quest guy there that sells rune plates or something.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay, so cutting to the chase here, what you guys both picked on this batch?
For nostalgic purposes here, I think I'm going to pick Delrith. That was one of the first quests I did, Demon Slayer, all the way back in RuneScape Classic. So
okay.
I'm going for that.
I'd go with Melzar. You always have to go for the hilarious one, you know? I'd go with Delrith and Draenor, but nah. They were just kind of, mwahaha, I'm evil. Whereas Melzer's like, ha ha ha, I'm mad. I'm going to spout random quotes now.
Alrighty, well, the winner is?
None of them.
None of them.
Good riddance.
Stay away from me with 17% of the vote.
That would be so funny if this wins in the end, you know? Like,
it's absolutely none of them. Got away from that batch.
Like, jeez, okay.
I don't know, why, none of them. Why would they include an option for that?
I don't know, but it's winning on members and overall, but Delrith is winning on free to play. So I don't know.
Probably one of the hardest quests they can do in free to play. So
yeah, but like, would they actually listen to this result, or would they just go with the second most one since they probably have to choose one? You know,
I think they'd just go with the next highest one.
Yeah, but that certainly is saying something, that people don't care about these boss fights because either they're not memorable or there's no reason to fight them again.
Yeah.
So, anyways.
I think people are expecting the higher ones. I mean, I'm sure they'll come later there, but... I mean,
yeah,
for
they
boss
should.
Hunting,
yeah, these
for
are pretty low level.
All these low levels at all.
For high level ones, I'd like to fight Nomad again.
I thought that was a pretty easy fight.
Oh, okay, easy? It took
some
13
didn't.
Tries.
Some didn't find it very easy.
Well, I mean, I maxed out, so...
Okay. How long did it take you? How many tries?
Just two. My first try, I went in with sharks, because it was in a bonus experience weekend, so I couldn't buy any brews. So I ended up going with a full inventory of shark. I got him down about 3/4, like, right before heals, and then I had to teleport, or, like, safe it out.
Okay.
I was going to die. But the next try around, I just went in with brews and I ranged them with diamond bolts and it went pretty easy.
Yeah, I think that was the winning combination for me, too. I don't know why it took me 13 tries, though.
Just the diamond bolts and the brews?
Yeah. Alrighty. So,
I guess 13 was your lucky number.
Yeah, I know, eh?
Must have been on Friday.
So with this, I think that would be a good reason for Colette to get members so he can go fight Nomad.
I'd have to train up a bit more first.
Yeah, that's probably true. What are you right now, level, like, 101?
I'm a bit higher than that, but I honestly don't even remember at this point. That's pretty sad, isn't it?
You can drop it.
I think it's 108. I'm guessing 108, so I'm going to look it up.
Oh, yeah, that's another thing they did. They updated the way that the high scores page
looks. High score show, yeah.
So that's nice. Comparing King Kala to Shane 1288.
You're probably higher than me in almost everything.
Yeah. Except you have a higher Fist of Guthix ranking.
Yay!
Yeah, you beat me in farming too.
Free to play minigame. Oh.
Anyways, so that'll be that poll. Next up, nobody on the 12th mentioned that it was a year since Dungeoneering was released.
I despise that skill.
I don't even call it a skill.
So. It's a minigame.
But with this, they say they want you to join us for a weekend of dungeons. It's just been over a year since we launched our most recent and most complex skill, Dungeoneering. It's a skill that encourages the bravest of the brave to delve into the sinister depths of Daemonheim, to take on the powerful enemies who reside within, and to learn the dungeon's dark secrets.
Okay, so, most complex skill? Really?
It's really from a programming point of view.
Integrating every other skill into this one, which makes it this skill.
Yeah, and also all the instancing that it has to do and everything and all the calculations to make sure no child is left behind in terms of whether or not they can get through to a boss or something, you know?
Yeah.
But their player moderator team have volunteered to help organize Dungeoneering groups for this weekend on the 16th and 17th. Now, why aren't the J-Mods doing it? Why are they getting the P-Mods to do this?
I don't know.
Not enough of them?
Yeah, they only have a south of, what, like 400, maybe?
Yeah, but that should certainly be enough for all the worlds that they have. Like, but
one per world, I guess.
Like, it just seems that it's not getting their full attention anymore because clans are the new thing to do, and clans are the interesting thing. Well, Dungeoneering, we'll let the player mods handle that.
Yes, they're, like, conforming to the public what the public wants now, so.
Yeah, I don't know. Did the public want clans, though?
Well, I guess it was in, like, the most common interest was clans at the time, so then they would release that, get more popularity.
I don't know. I don't know if it would be clans entirely, but...
Well, like, yeah. They made it sound like it would be such a big deal, like you knew all this stuff in a clan, and... I mean, it's really just this little chat window.
Yeah, that's true.
That's what it is now.
Oh, we forgot to mention the little flags you can pick up. You can plant the RSB and flag wherever you want.
That's the one?
And the cape.
Yes. Well, you did mention the cape.
Yeah, so just... If you're in the RSBNB clan, plant the flag wherever there's lots of
people. But the
thing
is, like, if someone has already planted a flag, you'd have to step, like, 25 paces away to plant yours. Like, you have to have a certain distance away from another one.
Oh, that's too bad. I was hoping we could go to the Grand Exchange one day and see this huge, huge field
flags
of clan posts. Yeah.
Instead of lighting Falador on fire, put, Flag Varrock.
Flag Varrock.
Yeah.
That almost sounds like Flog Varrock.
Well, one letter difference, I guess.
Yeah, and for anybody who doesn't know what flog means, quoting from the dictionary, beat someone with a whip or stick as punishment or torture.
Now I know.
Yeah.
Alrighty, we're going to be moving on to the questions right now. One audio question this week from Knack.
Hey, guys. Knack here, yeah. For a second there, I forgot my name. My username, you know what I mean. But my question this week is, when you were younger, did you ever read Calvin and Hobbes? I've just started reading some of it, and I thought it was really funny. Tell me what you guys think. Yeah. Pew pew. Bye.
No, I did not read Calvin and Hobbes.
Oh, one of the best comics ever, if not the best, I'd say.
Oh, I thought it was like a book about a detective boy or something.
Oh, no. Well, it's hard to explain Calvin, but basically this hyperactive kid who has a wild imagination. Let's see here.
And a tiger.
Yeah. And his pet tiger, which is actually a stuffed animal, but he believes is real. You should read some of them, Shane. They're actually quite funny.
Do they have relevance in the modern world?
Oh, certainly they do. In fact, a lot of them are still relevant, even today, I'd say.
Do they touch on issues like terrorism and global crises and all that?
I think they do in their own subtle way, you know, in the mind of a kid, you know. They touch on different issues. It's definitely quite great.
Give me an example.
Well, I haven't read one in a while, but I don't know, the fact that they're named after, like, old philosophers is pretty cool. John Calvin and Thomas Hobbes.
Oh, okay. I was wondering where Hobbes came from.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Jeremy, did you say you read them or no?
I never did. I was more into the Asterix and, was it Obelix?
Obelix. Those are good, too.
Yeah, and also the Tintin adventure ones.
Oh, Tintin. Oh, jeez. I've
never read any of those.
Those are so
good.
They
were my favorite.
I remember I loved the Tintin cartoon on TV.
That I did watch.
I remember in public school, in grade 3, we would always, like, watch them at lunch. The whole class would just stay in the class and just watch it and eat our lunches there. That was so fun.
Yeah.
See, that's the problem in this day and age, I think, is that, well, I haven't looked on the channel where those kind of shows are, but, you know, everything in this day and age is just, it doesn't seem as though it has the same kind of effect as it would have back in the olden days, you know?
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it'll last a long time, you know?
Yeah, it's just too generic, too commercialized and everything, you know? That kind of thing.
Isn't that why they call it the disposable culture?
Yeah, that makes sense, actually, given the quality of what's out there. That makes sense, everything, you know?
Yeah.
So, I could even throw Family Guy into that range of things and all those other kind of weird-ass... oops, did I just say that?
Weird-ass?
Weird shows like that. Anyways, thank you, Knack. You guys both done with that one?
Yep, thanks, Knack. Yeah.
Alrighty.
Thank you, Knack.
Kala, you want to read the next one?
Sure will. Question from Ben. What quality of your RuneScape account are you least proud of? It can be a skill, something you lost dying, or lack of action on your part.
Hmm. I'll think about that one for a bit. I guess missing the Santa hat drop. That was a... I mean, back then, I didn't think it was a big deal. I didn't even know about it until a few weeks after, but, I mean, now they're worth a lot of money, so just stacked up on a few of those, and you're rich, little man.
Okay. Pella?
Well, on that same vein, I was pretty annoyed because I remember saving up for a Santa hat. This was back when they were worth $10 million. But every time I got close to what they were worth, they'd always jump up like another $100K in price, so that I keep working towards it and working towards it, and then I just gave up because they came too high. And what are they worth now? Like, I could have, if I worked extra hard, I could have ended up buying it and then selling it off later.
86.4 mil.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I mean, come on. I should have gotten that 10 million.
Yeah, see, I was in a similar situation. At one point, I had three. I sold two of them. I delayed on selling them, but Brad, the old Brad, kept telling me that I should have sold sooner, but no. See, I should have held on to them until now.
Well, I don't know. You should have sold them about November. If you look at the 180 days graph on...
when I spiked up to over 100.
It was over 100 for about a week or so.
Yeah, that's one thing that annoys me. Another thing that would probably annoy me is the fact that the bank itself lacks organizational tools, you know? Like, there's no way to keep placeholder items. That's something they really should be doing. There's lack of bank space. I really think we should have more bank space. It should be at least doubled by now, I think. Those would have to be probably my two biggest annoyances.
I don't see why there has to be a limit on bank space to begin with. I understand the resources
storage
that they need to put with it, but still, you know?
There's only so many items in the game anyway, so...
Mm-hmm.
I had to clear out a whole bunch of stuff because I was at the max and I just needed to dump some stuff because I couldn't bank everything.
Yeah, give us more bank space. That's annoying.
They do it once, like, every year, maybe, and add, like, 30 or 40 slots.
Yeah, that would be good, but more often, or even let people pay for more bank space.
Yeah, I remember one time a few months back, we were talking about it, and they hid the bank space up. Increase into the tweaks and fixes, and there were a whole bunch of other updates that they'd done, and then I remember us saying at the end that the bank space increase was the best part of the updates that week.
Well, yeah, that's usually the way it goes, you know? That's usually the way it goes with these updates, is the little things that get a tiny, tiny mention are the best things. You know, I'm just looking at today's patch notes, and let's see. Nothing really in miscellaneous this week. Nothing really this week, but anyways. You get the point.
Derailed there. It's supposed to be all about the RuneSkip account. I don't think the bank space has anything to do with that.
Well, no. Yes, it does. It's the organization and the content and the stuffs in your bank account.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that's perfectly fine. So. But aside from that, not holding on to my two Santa hats for longer. And yeah, that's probably about it.
Oh yeah, not
is there anything else?
Not starting RuneScape a year earlier, so I could have stocked up on Halloween masks.
That would have been nice too.
Oh well, I don't know. I don't really have any regrets about my RuneScape account because, well, it's a game. You're supposed to have fun, and I think I've had fun when I was playing it. So,
uh-huh. And you've been free to play most of the entire time, so.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Alrighty. Thank you, Ben. This next one is from Dothel Detra. On episode 302, you said Moss La Harmless was to the harmless Moss. Well, this might be true. I always heard of it as mostly harmless, and I thought it was a reference to the book by Douglas Adams. Okay, you can say that, but I have one more thing to prove that it's in French. There's another city in that area, Berg de Rot, and... Jeremy, what does Berg stand for in French?
I don't know.
Oh, you're supposed to know. You live close to Quebec.
I know, I'm
Berg means city.
And what does de Rot mean? City of Rot?
Yeah, something like it. I'm just assuming that, so... So that's another thing with that, so...
Yeah, it is French words, sure.
It's funny because it's not even supposed to be pronounced Berg de Rot. Since it's French, it's Berg de Rot. Berg de Rot. Berg de Rot. I've got a crappy
French
accent.
Yeah, that sounds good. What's this book? Have any of you guys ever heard of this book?
I haven't read in a while.
Douglas Adams.
I've heard the name before, but...
See, here's another reason why you use Google Chrome. You highlight something and you right-click and you choose Search on Google and it opens a Google search in a new tab.
Oh, yeah? I just open a new tab and then Google search it.
Yeah, but you have to type with your fingers then.
I do.
So, anyways.
I don't see where his...
What are your favorite ways Jagex has played with words in RuneScape? So let's take this one first.
There are so many examples that I can't remember, but I remember liking them in quests and stuff.
Fair enough. Fair enough in the fairy quests. But it comes out to, like, fair enough, you know? Like, get it?
Oh, I just went there today for a clue, actually.
Yeah.
Kali, you got any?
No.
I don't have any on me. Actually, I thought that... I always thought that it was mostly harmless as well. But, yeah, I can't think of any at the moment. Might be able to think of some few minutes or so.
Astley Ricks, Herblore Habitat.
Oh, yeah. Astley Ricks. Rick Astley. Oh, yeah, and pick up sticks, you know?
And pick and mix.
Yeah.
Even the quest names, like the Great Brain Robbery.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think Astley Ricks is my favorite one. Aside from Fair Enough, maybe.
I don't know. There was another one. Etcetera. There's another one.
Oh yeah, Miscellany and Etcetera up north there.
In the Fremenic Isles, the Nate is not and Yat is so. You know, like, no, it's not. Yeah, it is. No, it's not. Yeah,
yeah,
it is.
Right.
And they're basically opposites. That one's pretty good. And just little other things, you know, like Piscatorus, because Pisces is fish. So
I
they've got
realized
some,
that before.
Yeah, they've got some really cool things in here. I can't think of any others at the moment.
I'm sure there's a wiki page on it somewhere that somebody can find.
Oh, yeah.
So. Anyways, next part. I'm going into high school next year. My GPA is going to start counting. Should I try AP/honors classes, or should I take normal classes and get easy A's? My final question is, do you prefer PC or console gaming? I personally love playing PC games, seeing as I always have a way better graphics card in my PC and than the graphics card in my Xbox or PS3. For example, I can install mods, play with the console, and loads of other things.
To address the question about what classes you should take, to be honest, I think you should go for the hard ones there, the honors classes. Because, I mean, if you are that intelligent, then, I mean, you should do very well in them. Even if you don't do that good in them, then you can always just change your courses for the next year to the normal classes, but I say go for the big ones.
Yeah, what I would do in the areas that you're interested in, if you're primarily a maths and sciences person, you should take the AP honors classes in those areas if that's where you're wanting to head to later on when you go to university or something like that. That's what I would do with that.
Yeah, make sure you look at the school requirements for colleges and universities too, because some of them might differentiate with which classes you might need.
Yeah, you want to make sure you can get the right path going so you can get into what you want to take.
What I would do is going straight into high school and, you know, taking all difficult courses, make sure you don't overload yourself as well, because trying for the harder courses and then failing because you get really stressed or you don't have time
too
for
homework
or that sort of thing, or you're involved with other things, you know, as kids always are. It can be a bit difficult to overload yourself, so try and find a balance between school and your other parts of your life, and you should do well, regardless of which one you decide to do.
I think that about covers it.
Uh-huh.
PC or console, Jeremy?
PC, without a doubt.
Pat?
PC, without a doubt.
I'm going to say PC as well, so there you go. Yeah, it just makes so much so much more sense. I've written many, many articles on this. I've swatted console fanboys down, and they haven't come back up to bug me again, you know, so I think PC is the way to go. So
it's just so much easier. The graphics are better, the control is better. I mean, like, if you were to play on a PlayStation, you know, you have your two thumbsticks, whereas if you have a mouse, it's a lot more accurate.
Yeah.
Graphics, don't forget that the, so much better.
And you can't forget that the games are cheaper.
That too, yeah.
$10, but really, that really doesn't
matter. It makes a difference. I mean, if a hardcore gamer wants to play everything, then that adds up a lot.
Yeah, and if you take $10 off of every game you own, that's a pretty significant amount.
Buy 10 games, you save $100.
Yeah.
Yeah, like back in February, I wrote this article entitled An Alternate Perspective on Gaming Consoles for Informer. It's a pretty good article, and, you know, it's something everybody should read, whether you're a PC gamer or a console fanboy. I think if you're a console fanboy, you need to read it more, because it kind of sends the message home as to why PC gaming is essentially the same price, if not cheaper, than console gaming, given everything that you take in control. So definitely take a read through this.
And you don't have to be a fanboy, you can just be a fan, or a major gamer of either sort, you know?
Yeah, that's true. You know, I say fanboy, but...
Or a fangirl. I know there are girls out there.
I'd suggest anybody who plays games exclusively on a console and does not play on the PC to read this. Even people who play it on both, I would suggest you to read this. So, link will be in the notes at update.rsbnb.com. Thank you, Dothaldetra. Next one, please. Jeremy?
So, a question from Coil163. With the clan camp out, what do you think will happen to Clan Wars? Shane, what do you think?
I don't think there's much that we can say about this, aside from the fact that Clan Wars will remain how it is, and this is one of the reasons why they said you're only allowed in one clan, because as Pat said earlier, you know, if you're fighting in Clan Wars, which side are you on?
Yep.
But, you know, I think it would add a whole new element to the game if they allowed friendly fire in Clan Wars, you know? That would be really funny, I think.
A lot more realistic, and I see a lot of people would rage about that.
Yeah, you know, like, you use an ancient magic spell or something, and
freeze your
teammates
clan.
Are in the area, you freeze your teammates. That's how it should be, you know? But
do you think people should, in that minigame, do you think people should lose their equipment when they die? Or do you think they should just respawn and just, like, keep going for the target?
You know, I think when the wilderness was removed and we had the option for the safe Clan Wars, I don't think there's any going back. I think there will always be a safe Clan Wars option.
Mm-hmm.
Even though now with the wilderness being back and the risk and everything, they might as well have the full-blown death Clan Wars. So,
and I think that's what the major high-level clans do anyways. Is the you die, you lose.
Yeah, and also with this week we didn't mention, but there's a ranked Clan Wars now. So if you're in a clan, a person who has the ability can start a ranked Clan Wars game between your clan and another clan. So that was the update that came with Clan Wars. So essentially that's what happened to Clan Wars this week, Coil.
Well, that's somewhat helpful.
Yeah, next part.
So another thing said was, also, I need some cash to buy a full rune trim. I've been collecting ashes. He's not botting because he doesn't know how to. And from other people's fires, so he's been collecting the ashes from people's fires and selling them on the Grand Exchange for 2.7k every 27 ashes. That's not a lot. I desperately need some money and ways to do so. Please do not include skilling, because my highest skill is pitifully low at 43. So, suggestions for making money.
This is your part, because it says not skilling, and I figured you have max combat, so you can shed some light on other ways.
Yeah, definitely. If you have a high combat level, even a mediocre combat level, you can do Slayer, gather up some Slayer points, and buy death runes, and sell them. And even from the drops you get from Slayer is fantastic, I mean. From one Abyssal Demon Task, I got two whips, you know, that's 7.2 mil that I got at the time. even other ways you can flip on the Grand Exchange. Like, my secret item is loop half keys.
I should not secret anymore. That, but
yeah. But basically, I buy them at medium and sell them for about 18 to 20k each, whatever sells faster, because I'm kind of greedy like that. Other things you can flip are cannonballs. You can, some guy right now is doing the fruit batch thing, fruit bat special ability where he collects the papaya.
That's a good idea. I just realized that this week that the papayas are the reason people do that. So if you can make fruit bats, that's good. That's a good thing to do.
They drop pretty much 100% of the time, so you're guaranteed at least one from every scroll you use. Just things like that. You can flip. You can go to the Raynor spawn. That's in one of the dungeons, I think, under Edgeville. Just a few things like that.
Yeah. And I would also like to throw in with this the Miscellanea Kingdom. Basically, you put money in. 75k per day if you've done both quests, plus a bit of a cushion so it doesn't go below 750k. But you probably don't have that, so 75k a day will suffice. Just make sure you check it daily. And if you do that, you get resources and stuff for free, and you can just sell these resources back on the Grand Exchange. It's basically a nice way to get free coal, logs, and seeds. That's the best way to make money with that.
Yeah, it is guaranteed like 250% profit. So you put in like your 1.5 mil, you'll get about 4 mil back from it.
Yep. So and there also, you go, 163. Call that something, say, now.
And don't forget to train up your resource gathering skills.
Yeah, make sure you're at about 100%.
Even if you're not going to make too much money on them, it's useful to have get your skills to a higher level anyways, because then you'll be unlocking other ways of making money that are probably reserved for higher levels. And I know for combat, you can make some pretty good money at the higher levels as well, like Jer said with Abyssal Demons, as well as some other things too.
Mil now, the whips.
Yeah. Still 1.1 mil that you wouldn't have if you didn't get
it. Yeah, it's kind of disappointing how much it drops.
Yeah, I missed when they were 25 mil.
When they first came out, there was so much. The Banos Godsword now is at all-time low, about 7.7 now, I think, today. It's ridiculous.
Sir Dominus, 32.
It's crashing. The market is going.
The market is going downhill. Wall Street has fallen.
Oh yeah, there's a good movie about that called Inside Job, I think, something. I want to see that about the 2008 Wall Street crash. It's a documentary.
I know there was one about Wall Street Money Never Sleeps. I know that was one.
Anyway, that's a bit off topic there, but yes, so
just a bit.
The Grand Exchange is your friend.
Mm-hmm.
Thank
don't
you.
Forget. Train.
Alrighty, this next one is from Parkour Man 99. See, I said or this time. Parkour. Not Parker. See, I know what parkour is, so I said Parkour Man 99. Hello, Super Farming Shane. Calfite Killed Culla. And just awesome Jer. I have two questions this week. How much money do you have in cash, and how much is your bank worth? My bank was once valued at 20 mil, but I lost it all, long story. Now my bank is worth about 6 mil.
Shane, let's hear from you first.
No, you first.
Oh, God. Okay. I'll give people tips on how to make money, but I won't give out money. Right now I have 203 mil in cash, and my bank is valued at about, I would say at the high end, about 800 mil. I do have a few sand hats and a lot of items to go along with it.
Yeah, you know, you see, if you want to get rich, that's one way to do it. It's just Slayer. Everybody I know who's gone for High Slayer has ended up like that, Jeremy. So you've definitely done the right thing in that regards, I think.
And boss hunting, too. Like, as a tournament before, I got a pair of claws, so that's a 20 mil drop right there.
Yeah.
So. Free GP, please.
Okay.
Oh, God.
I'll do that when I add you to the clan, Cola.
Oh, I remember logging in a couple weeks ago just to see if everything was still all right, and it was. And I also looked and saw that I didn't sell any of my members' equipment. So I've got a whole bunch of items and no coins to... So if I ever wanted to, which is kind of sucks right now, too, because everything dropped. So I probably should have sold it before, but I just... I probably didn't have the time
to
do
it.
Oh, maybe. I don't really have that much, though. So. I think total my bank is probably worth maybe 20 mil at max. I know I've got dragon armor, but that's probably the most expensive stuff. I don't know. I've always been a poor person in RuneScape, so money making isn't my focus in RuneScape most of the time.
I use my money. I currently have about 11 million GP, soon to be down to 5 mil, more on that later, primarily because I just bought a dragon pickaxe worth 11.5 mil. I know that seems rather painful for mining, but I don't know why I did that, but taking that into account, my bank would probably be worth 110 mil, give or take, yeah, so I really don't have that much usable cash right now, but everything else is in my items, so...
Yep.
There you go. So don't come asking me for stuff. Yeah, you know, like, I use my stuff. I don't hoard cash.
Like, that's all you really need. Like, you don't need rares. That's what a lot of people want, is just, like, money. But what do you need it for? All you need is, like, potions for Slayer. You need some logs for fire making that you could cut yourself and you won't have to pay anything for. Some armor. You know, you don't need top-notch bandos, but you can just get some dragon armor for pretty cheap now.
Yeah, like, I use barrows for my armor, and that's fine for me.
Yeah, like, 10 mil can get you all the equipment you can use for almost anything.
You don't even need a Dragonfire shield much anymore with the Dragon Defender, you know?
Yeah, I even still use
the only time a Dragon Defender or Dragonfire shield is nice when you go to fight dragons, so you have the extra bonus, but aside from that, I prefer the Dragon Defender. So, yeah. Second part?
It doesn't cost a dime.
Takes deep breath. Why do you always pronounce my name wrong? Heavy breathing. Please refer to pronunciation key at the bottom. I pronounced it right this time.
I thought it was actually parkour, man. Because, I used to go to French school, and O-U-R was or.
Yep.
So.
Oh.
Yeah, I think
that makes sense. Parkour, man.
Yeah.
Parkour, man. Yeah, that makes sense. So,
but everyone calls it Parker or parkour.
Yeah, it's just saying it pretty fast, though. I mean, they don't put any thought into how it's actually supposed to be pronounced.
Yeah, that's my problem most of the time, too. So, yeah.
Parkour Man 99. That's the same numbers.
Parkour Man 99.
See? Parkour Man.
Parkour Man 99.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There we go. Thank you.
But I know what it's like to have your name pronounced somewhat differently, and then other people want it pronounced a different way, and then you have to eventually give up and accept it because it's a worthless fight. Isn't that right, Shane? You were the one that started it.
Well, it makes sense, you know, like call as in call, like call the flock or something.
Yeah, but that's spelled with a C. Come on.
So, C and K.
I thought it would be that too, but I... In the end, I just thought it would be cooler instead of cooler.
Yeah,
it sounds kind of weird, though.
It just sounds cooler, doesn't it?
Play on words, guys. Play on words.
Yeah, we're masters of it ourselves.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to keep calling
just
you
like
Cola,
Jeff.
So.
Yeah, I know.
Cola, next question.
I've given up. This question is from Kyle Watson. A genie appears and grants you the wish of having one piece of content removed and replaced with another piece of content that you can make up. What would you remove and what would you replace it with?
Simple for me. Remove the dungeoneering skill and replace it with the southern continent. Refer to episode from last fall about the southern continent.
For me, I would remove all discontinued items. To be honest, I think they just ruin the economy. Like, they're just an item to have. They don't do anything special. Like, they don't give you any bonuses. They might look all right on your head, but I would just remove all those rare items. And I would replace it with...
Or just make them not tradable.
Yeah, but then everyone would get angry, and then Jagus would either have to like remove them or give everyone something.
Yeah, give so, everyone one.
I just never thought it was a good idea to have a rare item just dropped on a day, because all that's going to happen now is they're just going to keep going up because of inflation, pretty much. So, you know, all party hats are going to go way over 10 bill in probably 5 years.
Yeah, well, that's okay, because that's like the same thing as real life, which is good when a game is like real life.
Yeah,
it's
kind of
like
now
the same thing as like if you have a collectible like a piece of china from many, many moons ago, you know?
Yeah, because now the economy is revolved around rare items.
Yeah.
Like, every rich person has one and wants to merge them.
You guys don't have any collectible china in your house?
Nah.
We do.
I believe Jersey. That's collectible.
Oh, okay. What's that done for you this year?
You know, I got my hopes up. You know, I was looking forward to seeing them in the playoffs, but in the end, it's going to work out.
Don't There's worry, we'll accept year, right? you on our team.
There's always next year, right, Jer?
Yeah, always next year, and the year after, and since 2000, before the lockout.
Yeah.
Sad camper.
Oh, that's funny. For anybody who doesn't know what we're talking about, that's hockey.
Yeah.
How long has it been since the Cup?
1967, I think.
Yeah. It's 40. Funny, it's funny how some Maple Leafs fans always rag on the Canucks for not winning a cup. And then the last time they won a cup was 3 years before the Canucks even entered the league. Oh, well. We'll accept you on the bandwagon. Yeah.
Come along with the Habs.
Oh, wow. Okay, that was a nice little digression there. Call it a piece of piece of update you would like removed?
What would I remove from RuneScape? I would remove all underage players and replace them with older players that actually know what they're talking about.
Like, there's
a that's a problem in every game.
Yeah.
Like, if you go on like Call of Duty on PlayStation, you always have some like 10-year-old screaming into his mic, you know, and it gets kind of annoying. I know what you mean. Like,
yeah, well, that's because I can't actually think of something right now, so I'll go with removing immature players and replacing.
Yeah,
them
immature
with,
more than younger players.
Yeah, I shouldn't stereotype. I started when I was 12, and I certainly wasn't a jerk.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Thank
you. I talked like a noob. We should remove noob speak as well while we're at it.
Thank you, Mr. Watson. This next one is from 99887. Hi, Culliger and Shane. Here in New Zealand, we have a lot of monopolies. Telecommunications company and owner of the broadband lines. Sky TV, paid television, broadcasting, Fonterra, dairy, Zespri, kiwi fruit export, and probably more that I haven't heard of. All of which are regulated rather leniently in the eyes of the media. So anyway, what are your opinions of allowing monopolies to exist? Are they bad for a country, and how should governments regulate them?
Huh.
I don't like monopolies because then they just they make deals with each other to make the prices a set amount and then raise them high up.
Yeah, you know.
After all, that's why we have to pay so much for gas.
Yeah, ridiculous now.
And telephone plans and internet, you know, a lot of stuff like that that you have to pay on a per month basis it just raises up. And that's not because it's costing that much, but because they're allowed to. Because who else are you going to go to?
Exactly.
A different company with the same price, you know.
And most of these people who like take telecommunication providers or something, here instance of TV or internet, Shaw and Telus. If you want a different provider, that provider is going to have to buy the internet access from Shaw or Telus. So there's really no way, because it's all down to the infrastructure. So they need to be controlled in terms of not being allowed to monopolize. just like here in Canada, there's the cell phone providers, Rogers, TELUS, and Bell, and, you know, you
94% of Canada's wireless market.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, monopolies are evil, but, you know, there's really no way of stopping them in these kind of things, because, A, if you do that, what's to say they're going to make things better for the consumer, and how can you force a gigantic company to stop and turn on the fly, you know?
And you look at, you know, like the big six in movies, Warner, Viacom, News Corp, Walt Disney, Sony, and Comcast.
Oh, yeah, and they all...
That provides, like, at least 60% of all the movies, you know. And you've got the television industry, and even in foods, like the processed foods, and you've got the... Pop, which is usually owned by either Coke or Pepsi, you know. I mean, it's everywhere, and I don't think it's that. I don't think it's a inherently good thing, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Now the question is, how do you stop this? Is it a matter of voting for the NDP or the Conservatives in terms of which side you go at it from? I don't know.
It's hard to know, because if you regulate it, then you're basically putting quite a few restrictions on the economy and industry, you know?
Yeah,
I think it's funny how he mentioned that they're regulated rather leniently in the eyes of the media. Well, it's because the people that own media outlets also own a lot of other things. Like, you look at... I forget which media outlet it is in Canada, but it's the one that owns all of the major newspapers, and they also own a significant share of the... they also own a significant share of, like, gas stations and oil and stuff. So you'll find that in those types of newspapers, there's not too many articles about environmentalism or stuff like that, you know. And you start to get slanted media and slanted outlook on life, so that you just become believing the truth of what the corporations tell you, you know.
Yeah, you know, there's nowhere where you can get balanced media, like. CBC, definitely not. CNN, no. Fox, no. So, you know, it's hard to find somewhere balanced.
Yeah.
I'd like to think here in Canada, Global is balanced. I feel they are. I don't know about you guys.
Fairly. A lot more so than the States, but... I don't think it can get much more balanced than the BBC, though.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, they're... But that could just be because they have lots of old people working there.
That's true.
From the olden days. So, who knows? But, yeah, definitely, I think overall, at the end of the day, deregulation is the key. It's just a matter of a government having the will and desire and the courage to go up and say, we're deregulating all these industries, you know, whether or not they like it or not. So...
I think it comes down to the core philosophy of whether you think that companies have a responsibility to the people of the country that they're working in, or if they only have a responsibility to make money and deliver a profit to their shareholders, you know? And
Are
it comes
you
down to that
political compass
philosophy.
Right now?
No, I'm not. But that's where I'm sure that's where I got it from.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. Okay.
Three for three, eh?
Yep, three for three. Thank you, 99887/Leo. If you have a more specific question, if anybody has a more specific question about deregulation in the economy in Canada or the U.S., please do send those in. We will also try to handle other countries as well, but just give us a little bit of time to pull it up. Kula, next one?
This question is from the German. Hello from Germany. I just caught a couple of brief questions involving everyone's favorite skill, farming. What is the best herb to farm overall for profit, and what is the best herb to farm for level 50 farming? I know you've answered the first question in a previous episode, but I cannot find it. From Deutschland with love, the German.
Take it away, Shane.
Well, you know, it totally depends. You can make profit with pretty much any herb out there, depending on how much you get, as long as you use super compost and your magic green things. So what I would, my favorite herb to do is just toad flax, because there's always a demand for toad flax for people making Sarodoan brews, so that's just what I use. And best herb for level 50 farming, once again, just look at the level table, whichever is the best one you can do, and then compare whichever one's going to be the least amount of risk, which I think is probably toad flax. I forget which level that unlocks at. So it depends totally on profit and how much risk you're willing to take in. Like, I'm level 99, but that doesn't mean I'm going to be farming torstal herbs all the time, because I just don't want that risk of one of them dying and wasting that much money on a herb. So that's all on that.
But then again, it probably has like most potential profit because it's worth so much.
Oh yeah, imagine you get potential. Imagine you get 20 herbs from one torstal seed.
Then you've just made like 1 mil maybe. I don't know how much prices are going right now, but you make a lot.
So it's definitely something to think about when you're farming. Let's just see what we got for herb seeds.
But yeah, I did toad flax as well, just because they're so cheap, the seeds, and the herb prices are so high for them.
Yeah, so you would level 38 like those unlock. You could and maybe do dies, a mental, because
no big deal,
because those are needed as a secondary for one of the extreme potions. So I don't know. I just like farming.
Some people were saying, though, that like snapdragons were very good.
Oh, yeah. Those are good, too. But you also assume high risk on those as well.
Yeah.
Because they're used for the super restore potion there. So snapdragon herb is currently 10.8K, while the seed is 44.5K. So assuming you have an average of 7 per, like I have determined in the past, you can make roughly around 30k there. So
that's not too bad.
Yeah.
Toad flax is probably about the same, because it's so cheap to buy the seed, and then the herb is pretty expensive.
Yeah, see, the herb sells for 4.1k, while the seed is only 1400 GP, so if you take 4.1k times it by 7, you get 28k right there. So that's 27k profit, almost guaranteed. And if the thing dies, you only lose 1500 GP, so there's really nothing to worry about with toad flax. That's why I like it.
So I would stick with toad flax.
Yep.
The profits.
Thank you. The Jer Man. Alrighty, next one from James. Can you please go in depth on the topic of electromagnetism?
I'd be more surprised if he asked us word for word, how do magnets work?
You think that's what he's asking?
Oh, I'm pretty sure he is.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's what he says, electromagnetism. That's just magnetism in general. See, I assume electromagnetism means you're talking about using an electric current to generate a magnetic field. And in order
when I say that, I just think of like one of the fundamental forces. You know,
yeah, that's right. Magnetism is one of the fundamental forces.
Or interactions, I should say.
So you're saying that when we use magnets, we should use the force.
Oh, God.
How did you know?
I know everything.
Not going in depth.
You guys can handle the rest of this question. That's where it's going.
I'm only taking first year physics. Give me a break.
Well, there's just so many different types of magnetism, it's hard to tell. Like, if you look at the magnetism article on Wikipedia, there's diamagnetism, paramagnetism, ferromagnetism, antiferromagnetism, superparamagnetism, and electromagnetism. So there's so many different areas of this. I'd like to say my area of expertise in this is in electromagnetism. In terms of that you can use a coil system of wires to generate a magnetic force. And by doing this, you either in turn generate magnetic force or a current, depending on which way your system is going. So you can either use the electricity to generate a magnet, or you can use the magnets to generate an electric current. And by doing these coils, you move the electrons in those coils, which in turn generates power, which is one way you can make a wind turbine work, but there are other ways we make wind turbines work. So then, of course, there's natural magnetism, like in the ground and stuff, from all the elements in the earth, which is just magnetic elements left over from when the core created and whatnot. And, you know, this is due to what happens in the earth of the molten core moving around.
Yeah,
and if the core was not moving, the magnetic field would not be getting renewed after every so often, and we need the magnetic field because that protects us from harmful radiation. And you know, there have been times when the magnetic pole has flip-flopped to where the north has become the south.
It's supposed to do that again in 2012.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, not 2012, but sometime close.
Yeah.
In the relatively near future, on the terms of a geologic time scale.
That was very well said, Shane. I could not have come up with anything better than that at all.
Yeah, well, you know, I was doing the best I could because it didn't tell what kind of magnetism he was interested in. So,
I think he was talking about magnetism in general. Wondering how
so
it
many
works.
Types
you know?
Of magnetism. Yeah.
Yeah.
I used to have these really powerful earth magnets that you had to be careful. If you put your finger in between them, you would, like, break a fingernail.
Earth magnets?
Yeah, earth magnets.
Oh, okay. So it attracts earth, then.
No, they're like...
Very strong magnets.
They're, like, rare metals from inside the earth, and they're magnetic, and they're very, very strong.
Oh, I thought you meant that they attracted Earth, the person.
No. A rare Earth magnet. Developed in the 1970s and 80s, rare Earth magnets are the strongest type of permanent magnets made, substantially stronger than ferrite or alnico magnets. So, they're fun to play with.
I love playing with magnets.
Alrighty, yeah. Last question, Jeremy.
This question comes from Marumska. Dear RSBNB crew, Canadian crew, one thing I would like to know, do you use the fridge for refrigeration in the winter times, as it gets so darn cold in Canada? You know, I could actually answer this. Say I'm going out to a party in the winter, right? I got my 2-4 or whatever. I just leave it in the snow. I don't use the fridge inside the cabin. I just leave my beer in the snow. So, I can go both ways, really.
Do we use a fridge?
Yeah, typically, because otherwise you would freeze the stuff, you know? Like,
it doesn't get cold in our house because we have to keep it warm, otherwise we would go into hypothermia and die.
Just because
it's cold outside doesn't mean it's cold inside.
You guys don't down there in Australia. So there is such a thing as what's called a furnace, and it pumps warm air into your house. So, yes, yeah. We do use a refrigeration unit.
But fire. Don't forget fire. We've discovered fire up here in Canada as well.
Oh, yeah, right.
Just don't light them in our igloos. Don't worry.
Yes.
But the winter is a good time to defrost the big freezers, you know, because if it's minus 30 outside, you can just take what's in your big freezer and put it all outside for a while you defrost your freezer inside.
See, it never gets that cold here.
you
always get a lot colder than here in Ottawa.
Yeah.
So. Anyways, next part.
Have you guys tried poutine? And if you did, how was it?
Poutine. Isn't that such a great invention?
Oh,
it's absolutely disgusting.
What?
It looks disgusting.
It is.
But it is
one
so...
of the greatest combos.
It's so tasty and so bad for you. It's like KFC.
It's great, but it screws up your insides.
It's great, but it's terrible.
It's got so much cheese on it. Like,
With gravy. You know what? I actually went to Bold Castle once on a cruise in Ontario, of course. And I wanted to get a poutine, so I went up to the lady. This is in the United States, right? They didn't know what poutine was. So I go up to the lady, and I ask her, can I get a poutine? And she says, sorry, what? She looks at me in this very awkward and weird way. And I said, can I get a poutine, please? And she's like, I have no clue what that is. So I start explaining to her. I'm like, you know, it's fries with cheese and gravy. And she's like, oh, really? Oh, you know what we call that here? We call it a loaded. What the heck is a loaded?
Oh, that's funny. You know what? Poutine is great in other ways, too. Read this here. In a Talking to Americans segment on the television series This Hour Has 22 Minutes, during the 2000 American election, Rick Mercer convinced then-governor of Texas, God, George W. Bush, that Canada's prime minister, Jean Chrétien, was named John Poutine, and that he was supporting Bush's candidacy. A few years later, when Bush made his first official visit to Canada as president, he said during a speech, "There's a prominent citizen here who endorsed me in the 2000 election, and I wanted a chance to finally thank him for that endorsement. I was hoping to meet John Poutine." The remark was met with laughter and applause.
Oh my God, what a setup.
John Poutine. Oh, that was a great setup too.
Poutine, so we have consensus that poutine is great. Save Shane.
Yeah, because it has cheese in it.
Cheese is nasty, isn't it, Shane?
Yeah.
Actually, I don't like cheese myself. Like, if you just like cut a block of cheese, I would not eat that. I don't like it.
I like it with crackers.
It's not bad with crackers, just by itself. Well, like if you're having, I don't know, cheese and other stuff you have with cheese, it's not good.
Okay, and that's enough about poutine. Next part.
So thanks for the advice for the Mac purchase cooler. And Shane, I actually downgraded from the initial 15-inch I wanted. That's all. He's typing from his new shiny and first Apple product, from his 13-inch MacBook Pro, more room in the sky. And that's it for questions.
Cooler and Shane?
Oh. Yeah,
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know what this is about. I think it might be the SSD MacBook Pro purchase. I don't remember exactly, but congratulations on your purchase, and I'm sure you know now what we always talk about, how the Mac hardware is so great, and it's not just that the hardware and the service you get from the employees and stuff actually does justify the extra cost that you pay. So hopefully you've realized that and can convince other people of that now.
I've never had a problem with Macs. I mean, I've only used them in one of my high school classes, but from that experience, I could say they're very good.
Yeah, see, and they can play games. They can play StarCraft 2 and a whole bunch of other Steam games.
Instantly attracted to Mac now.
Yeah, that's good. I'll give you more information later. But I'm going to give everybody else more information now. If you want to send us a question, you can email audio questions to questions@rsbnb.com. If you're interested in sending a text question, you have to head over to the forums to do that. rsbnb.com/forums. Locate the RSBNB update forum and post in the topic that's created early in the week. Alternatively, you can phone the questions in to the Google Voice number, which is an American number, so if you're in a foreign country, chances are that will cost you a bit of long distance, so you will want to phone 571-572-2632, otherwise known as 571-57-BNB.
Yes. You could do telemarketing commercials on TV. And with that, I believe it's on to tech news.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Alrighty. The U.S. has given a blueprint for a sort of an internet identity plan. This isn't an ID card or anything like that, which is really what I think it should be when you look at it. But it's a plan that's going to be outlined by the government and handed out to certain trusted authorities. So you can get one of these ID cards or ID accounts, and then the hope is that websites like Facebook, Twitter, other websites will go ahead and implement this, making it unnecessary for you to use a password. Because the I think it was the Department of Defense realized that passwords are insecure, and they account
they just
for
realized
most
that
breaches.
Now.
Yeah, and then they said they got more secure when they went to an ID card system that would need to be swiped or something, or some kind of alternate ID method compared to just a password, which makes sense because, you know, as you add more factors to your auth protocol, you become more secure. So that goes without saying. So this is just a blueprint right now, but the question is, will this be implemented? And, you know, if it's suggested by the U.S. government and U.S. websites do this, it will work for American citizens. But this does not go far enough to set aside a standard that the rest of the world could use for the same kind of thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're not going to want an American solution. The internet is not American as much as the Americans would like to think it's American.
Mm-hmm.
Which, like, if you take a look at all the people on the internet, hands down, the Americans are not the majority. Yes, that's right. So this has to be something that goes worldwide. I don't know how that would work, but I'm going to be thinking about that in the next month or so, because I have a few ideas on this. So,
I mean, Asia in itself has 3/4 of the world's population, so I mean...
Yeah, so you gotta think, is this solution really going to work for everybody else?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's the right solution. I don't know.
It would depend on if it would work with Canada, too, especially because a lot of our websites are so tied into American websites as well, you know.
Yeah,
might be a bit difficult. And as I looked at our political parties' platforms, not very many of them are really big on the digital laws and that sort of thing, and reinventing and reforming how we use our computers. You know, it's just not very important to them, it seems.
Yeah, which is a problem in this day and age, and
yeah.
You know. That needs to be something done going forward, and I don't know who is going to be the first one to do that, but it's way past time for that, given that it's 2011 now, and, you know, things like Facebook and Twitter have hit mainstream audience several years ago already. It needs to happen soon.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, but definitely something to watch. I don't think this is the solution. It might work in the same kind of way that OpenID worked, but, you know, once again, OpenID, that really wasn't widely adopted, so it needs to be widely adopted, easy to use, and a global solution, so I don't know. Jeremy, do you have any thoughts on this?
Negative.
Alrighty. Next tech story, then. If Cullis done with that one?
Mm-hmm.
Copyright school. YouTube sending repeat infringers to copyright school. Rather than once you have 3 copyright strikes on your account, you get your account suspended. Now, you have to go through this little quiz to get these copyrights strikes removed. An example they give is, the following is not a good subject for your YouTube videos. A, your cat. B, your dog. C, your friends and family. D, content from your television. What's the answer?
What do you mean I can't use my cat in YouTube videos?
Yeah, so
I don't see
the kind of...
I don't see why they have to complain that much, because if it's just a short clip of a television show, you know, wouldn't it just increase people wanting to go see that television episode?
That's the thing that the studios don't get, is that this actually does increase that. So, and there are provisions under fair use, you know, like, you're allowed to use any kind of thing, like a song or a video or anything, under fair use, if you're using it in an educational manner, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the number one way I know people get out of their copyright things, is, oh, this is an educational video about how to... nuke-friendly fire in StarCraft 2. Hence why the song is there.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly, just, like something like that. And people always have to do that.
This is the same thing, you know, like the copyright laws. People thought Obama was going to be this internet president who was going to reform copyright and bring in net neutrality and everything like that. But halfway through the presidency, where is he on that? It didn't happen. So, you
fairness,
really got to
think. He's busy with other stuff, but still.
Well, yeah, you know, that's true, given the fact that they're debating raising that debt ceiling.
Yeah.
Which is really a stupid idea, but more on that on another show, I think. Because, like, it's just, goes back to what you said. There's no drive from the government to implement something like this, because it seems like any government in any country does not care about the internet and making it actually a part of legislation in day-to-day life.
And it is already. I mean, how many people now use the internet? Almost half the world's population?
Yeah, so, maybe...
Most people that have access to computers, you know.
Now have the internet too, yeah.
The digital
divide
is pretty big.
Maybe need to vote for the pirate party.
Oh, yeah. Gonna vote for them, Shane?
I don't think so. At least if they were able to actually provide something or maybe get a seat about internet legislation and stuff, that might be interesting. So.
A seat in Parliament might go a long ways.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't think that'll be happening anytime soon. Anyways, copyright school. Anything else on copyright school?
It's funny how they can remove warnings after watching the video.
Yeah, you know, going through copyright school, as if that's going to do anything. The answers are so obvious. There's no reason to... It's just like a click-through, you know? Like, people aren't going to pay attention to that.
Yeah.
I don't
Wouldn't
know,
be surprised if someone's already cracked the program to get around doing it. Oh.
Yep. So that's the state of the affairs today, but ending on a bright note, Microsoft has already previewed Internet Explorer 10.
For Windows 7 only. Yay!
Yes. Meaning you two are both left behind.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you two really should be upgrading to Windows 7 or Windows 8 next year.
Yeah, I'm definitely planning on two, but I never got around to it.
Next computer I will.
Or you guys could just get Macs.
Or we could not.
He's turning us to the dark side.
He's trying to.
Anyway.
Use the force chair.
So what does this Internet 10 have to offer from Internet 9?
Well, you know, it's just going to be the next evolutionary step in this, in that it's going to have more HTML5 support, better standard support, and as usual, faster. So I'm guessing Microsoft is trying to rebrand themselves as the browser that you should use if you're on Windows, you know? Because it provides a native experience, faster, safer, and whatnot. So, you know, if Windows was more secure as an operating system, it didn't have all this legacy code in it that was sticking out that could be causing problems, I would almost fully suggest using Internet Explorer 9 on Windows after Google Chrome. Over Firefox, even.
That's what I'm using.
I think you guys should both go and install Internet Explorer 9 and Google Chrome and tell me, out of those three, IE9, Chrome, and Firefox, which ones you guys like better? Because you guys are both using Firefox, but you've not used Chrome yet.
Mm-hmm. I've used Chrome once or twice, and I like it better than Internet Explorer for sure, but between Firefox and Google Chrome, it's kind of up for debate.
I don't know. Chrome is just so nice because it's just a browser. It's nothing else, which is the problem Firefox had. It used to be just a browser, but it's not anymore.
I like how, Firefox 4 now I think I have is just the URL bar at the top and then just the page I'm looking at. There's, nothing cluttering it up. I can hide stuff if I want.
Yeah.
Yeah, but also in the settings and stuff, too, you know? Like, it should be nice and simple. Like, the Google Chrome settings use a web page for their settings. That's how simple Chrome is. So, but in any case, back to the story. If you're interested in test driving IE10, you can download it on the IE Test Drive website. I don't usually advise downloading these and using them as real browsers because you just never know what might work and what might not work. So, but if you're interested in that kind of thing, please do take a look.
And you have to have Windows 7.
Yep. But there's nothing wrong with that.
Well, all of us stragglers here, so we're still on Vista. I mean,
yeah. Legacy users.
Yeah, legacy users are the ones that should be killed off, according to Apple, which I agree with fully.
Oh, yeah, kill us off, because we're not worth anything at all.
Well, yeah, right. Legacy holds things back. Anyways, moving on, that's it for tech news. On to other things. Skill of the month, April, magic, and we've had a lead change since last week.
Yay! Amazing. Changes.
Everyone wants change.
Looks like Banzai 99 was winning last week. Well, this week, the Lion 777 is winning with 3.7 million experience gained.
That's a lot.
And in second place is New Hero with 3.2 million. And third is Banzai 99 with 2.9 million XP gained. So, definitely still seeing a race going on here, which is good, even at the bottom. So I'm happy that everybody is taking part in this.
Yeah, it looks
only
like
one person has not got XP so far.
Looks like it's a pretty good race so far. Anyone could win it, and anyone could finish in any place, you know?
Yeah, there's still half the month left, so keep
it's
going.
It's one of those 22. Even like bear skills, too, compared to like summoning, where if someone just had 20k Crimson Charms saved up, then, I mean, they're going to probably win. Whereas this skill is, you know, if you put in a lot of alks, then you should be able to probably win.
Yeah.
22.1 million XP gained so far. Keep going, everyone. Highest daily XP was New Hero with probably about 1.1 million XP. So, that's pretty good.
Some effigies were spent there.
Yep. Alrighty.
I like this, Scottum. It's nice and exciting.
Yeah.
Sure.
Don't you wish our election could be like that?
It is like that. Kind of.
I wouldn't say it's exciting. There's not that many lead changes. There's no lead changes yet.
No, but there shouldn't be.
Really?
Lead changes aren't good. It means that the population is swayed by what happens during that day. Far too much. They aren't focused on the bigger picture.
That is true.
Yeah, that's the best way to go about everything, is the bigger picture.
Of course, if nothing changes like it was happening, then it means that a lot of people are apathetic about it, which is also really bad.
I don't know. Shane's convinced me pretty well to vote conservative.
Yes, way.
He has.
Oh, gee.
That's good. That's good. Alrighty. So, Jerry, you have a pick this week?
I do. And that Alrighty. Would be the movie Limitless, featuring Bradley Cooper. I saw that with a few of my friends, and that was an amazing movie.
Okay, what's it about?
It's about this man. He's just some normal guy, like everyone else. And he stumbles upon one of his old, his ex-wife's brother. And he's got this pill, just some random pill. It's called NZT46. And so, you know, he's contemplating trying it, and you know what, whatever, he just goes and tries it. So then he starts feeling all this intelligence in him. And, you know, that's pretty much what it's about. It's the pill that makes you insanely intelligent and makes you smart for as long as it lasts, and the story revolves around that, you know, him building himself up as a man, and it's pretty good at the end. I mean, definitely worth the $10 I spent, even better on Blu-ray, I guess, if you guys have that, and I would give it probably about a 9 out of 10.
Alrighty, hence the title Limitless. So this is out already on Blu-ray and DVD?
I don't think so. I think it's still in theaters.
Okay.
Or is it on Blu-ray?
Yeah, it was released on March 18th, so if it isn't still in theaters, then it will have just been out.
So it's coming out soon.
Alrighty then, that sounds good. Achievements of Zivik. Alright, one for each of us. First up is our PvP person, Chris,
Fanatic.
Mage, Turt, I'm guessing, 98 Herblore on April 8th. Congratulations to you.
Next up is Miner Goo, achieving the very hard to get 99 mining. Lots of hours spent into that. I cannot bother getting mine up past 74 right now. Congratulations to you. That is an awesome feat to achieve.
And Mr. J1000 with 99 cooking on April 13th, 2011. And that is no less an achievement, because a 99 skill takes dedication no matter what it is. So congratulations to all three of you.
Yes. And remember, if you want to be featured in this portion, you must be a member of the forums and subscribed on the high scores by entering in your RuneScape name and making sure you're set to pay-to-play or free-to-play for your status, so it will start tracking you once you meet the requirements. That's at highscores.rsbnb.com if you want to see what it looks like.
And Limitless is still in theaters here.
Oh, okay.
On the big screen.
What?
That was sounds. The Google Doodle for the day, unfortunately. I don't know what that's about. Let's see before we do the next thing.
Oh, cool. This thing.
Charlie Chaplin's 122nd birthday.
Holy
oh, that's
crap.
Pretty cool. Oh, yeah, that's right.
See, that's another thing you can do with the...
Yeah. The guy who made a cool mustache before some guy ruined it for him.
Yeah, you know, they say people who have mustaches have something to hide.
Uh-huh.
So. Anyways, with that little side note, let's just say that the RSBNB events for April will be on the way. Isn't that right, Jeremy?
Definitely. I've got some things cooked up for you guys. So you will be expecting to see that at the end of this month here. We're going to wait for after Easter weekend, because that's not a good time to host an event. So expect to see that probably the Friday at the end of the month, and hope you guys will like it.
Yeah. And to break with tradition, Mike and I will also be doing an event this year. We are doing it on the Saturday of Easter weekend. We are not doing it on the Friday, Sunday, or Monday, just because people might be doing things, so we are targeting the Saturday in the afternoon, and let's just say it's something that everybody will enjoy, and I'm sure everybody will be flocking to.
Really, yep.
More people information posted this weekend. That. Yes, they will. So
something to look forward to.
Yes. With that
it
being
is.
Said, let's ask Jeremy what he's been up to this week. Besides carrying us in StarCraft last night.
So for this week, I had an exam on Tuesday, I think it was. That was my... Actually, I had two exams. I had one on Monday and one on Thursday. Those were the days. Monday was my physics exam. That went okay. It was all multiple choice, so I did okay on it. Thursday was my biology exam, which did not go as well as my physics, but I did okay on it too. And other than that, I've been playing StarCraft with Shane and Mike and Shrekky. Looking forward to those games again. Ripping up the 4v4s. And I've been pretty much doing Slayer on RuneScape. Trying to get my 99 in that. And getting my red party hat. The one item I've always wanted to. And that's it for me.
Alrighty. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Kula. He's kind of replaced you in the 4v4 thing.
I know. I've been replaced. That's all right. I
know,
don't mind.
Kula.
Oh, yeah, I played StarCraft 2 until about mid-January or so. I don't know. I kind of got bored of it. I'm not that great at it, so...
Expect to see you on.
We'd always seem to lose.
Wish I had, like,
we won more with you in the 3v3s than we did with Trekkie.
Which is funny, because Trekkie's a better player than me.
Well, it's pretty much... I just play for fun with you guys. I mean, I don't expect to get anywhere high, so... If we did, that would be awesome, but still, I mean, it's all fun.
Yeah, I just do it for fun as well. More of a social thing, eh?
Yeah. Just get on Skype, play a few games, you know? Try some cheese.
Good old cheese.
I did that with
For anybody who doesn't know, cheesing is harassing just to be annoying.
Yeah, it's something that is not respected at all. It's a really, like, annoying strategy that just isn't fair and fun.
Yeah.
So, it's disrespectful.
Anyways, Kala, what have you been doing this week?
Well, I've been hoping my computer doesn't blow up on me. It's been pretty good for about a week now, so I'm hoping that things are better. If it doesn't, I'll probably have to replace the hard drive and start from scratch again, but things shall be good for now, I think. Other than that, I've been finishing off school. I had exam week as well, so I just had my last exam this morning, which was on Canadian politics, and I'm done with school now, which is nice, and the playoffs just started on Wednesday, and we've got our game 2 tonight against Chicago.
Love the playoffs. Chicago.
And so I'm going to be watching the NHL playoffs. And, what else has been going on? It's been raining out there. That's not very cool. Yeah, here it rains way more than it snows.
It snowed yesterday here.
Really?
Yeah,
we went up to 20 degrees last week. Big heat wave.
Our heat wave was like 14 degrees.
Out here in Ottawa, we were at 20 degrees, so snow was all gone. The boards are down from hockey. summer's coming.
It's still outside, so.
Sucks. Anyways. This late.
I'll probably get back into playing street hockey. I think we're meeting up tomorrow. That should be fun.
Yeah.
Alrighty, as for me this week, RuneScape, mining, and smithing, which is really, really tedious. I have no idea why I'm doing it. I think I'm just going for 85 mining, but that's 18k gold ore away. Ugh.
Oh yes, I forgot to say, I started playing Borderlands as well.
Oh, classic game.
It's a pretty good game, too. I'm actually liking it quite a bit for an FPS. So, that's pretty cool. And it was also on sale, I think, this past week. I think on Tuesday or Wednesday, it was on for like $250. Not $250. $2.50. Which is pretty darn good for a game. It was on for $9 already, and then it was reduced by 75% on Steam.
For a game of that quality, I love Borderlands. It is such an amazing game.
Yeah, they had 2K Games Week, and now they're having Rockstar Games Weekend, so they're probably going to have the GTA stuff on later this weekend.
For those of you who don't know what Borderlands is, it's a first-person shooter game that's like a RPG. So if you've ever played Call of Duty and Diablo 2, picture those two games together, and that's what you get. You get a Borderlands.
Yeah. It's pretty cool, actually. I like it quite a bit. And how you're able to customize with all the weapons and that sort of thing.
Yeah, that's the great thing about Steam, is that they do these game sales like that so cheaply.
Amazing offers, yeah.
Yeah.
But anyways,
Shane, I'm sorry for butting in on you there.
Yeah, it's okay. Aside from just the RuneScape gold mining, just a bit of coding this week. And as Jeremy said, StarCraft 2. So, anticipating a lead change in the Canadian election, too. That would be interesting. Yeah, I think it's going to happen, don't you?
You think so?
You're anticipating, you're anticipating it, but you don't want it to happen?
Yeah, exactly.
Huh. How can you anticipate something and yet not want it to happen? I don't understand
because
that.
I think it's going to happen, but you don't want it to.
It's like anticipating for 2012. I mean, why would you want to worry about it? If you're fully convinced that it's going to happen, why don't you live your life rather than speculate and worry about it all the time? I mean, geez.
Because we need to have a plan for what happens after.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if everyone dies, we won't really have a plan.
If everyone dies, we can move to Mars.
There we go. That's a good idea.
We'll move to the RSB&B moon colony.
We'll get our bed and breakfast rolling up there, too.
Yeah, exactly. RSB&B.
Yeah.
Alrighty, everybody. That means we're done for this episode when we have to resort talking about the moon colony in 2012. That being said, it's been RSB&B Update 304 with Jeremy, the newest events crew member.
Thank you, guys.
King Kulla, moderator, my informer helper.
Thank you very much. I'll see you guys later sometime.
Yes, and thank you for listening to this episode, and we will see you all next week. Goodbye, everyone.